This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz Podcast.
So we're a weirdo show that develops these strange obsessions. And this week, it has been an obsession with Rick Renteria, White Sox manager. I'm hoping at some point that we can get him on the air. He is the white whale right now because we've been talking about him all week. But the reason that we've been talking about him all week really is because our show is obsessed with 90s baseball. It's the one thing that unifies us in a time that America is more divided than it's ever been.
Yep.
And what I've seen happen, one of the strangest things I've seen happen during the pandemic, Stugatz, and there's been a lot of strange stuff in America, it is that this show's interest, baseball, so reluctant to change, Stugatz, never changes. We don't want to put Spider-Man on the bases to advertise movies because we are old-fashioned. We don't want to put more teams in the playoffs. A disease forces baseball to change, and baseball's back. Like, our interest in what it is that we're watching here has resumed, Stugatz, because Billy had to be infuriated last night that the Astros and Carlos Correa are hitting a home run, and we're close again to these cheaters winning the whole thing because they've come back against Tampa.
They have to win two more, but the one guy, if you're rooting against the Astros, that you don't want hitting that home run is the guy who's been most vocal, and that's Carlos
Correa.
Oh, so
good.
He needs to zip it up.
I am here for a defiant, hissing champion, but so there on that end, we've got storylines and baseball interest. Go ahead, Billy. Give us everything you got on the Astros. Before we get to Stugatz, the other baseball story, because Stugatz gets the floor today on Kershaw. Like, I can't even say anything today.
It's too easy.
So we'll get to Kershaw in a second and what you're here for, which is just Stugatz playing his greatest hits.
I can't wait for the Kershaw stuff. Can we just get to the Kershaw? Listen, Correa, you need to shut up already, okay? And Dusty Baker, don't get me started on him. We need to get back into the whole Dusty Baker thing. Worst manager that's... Has any manager ever done more, less with more than
thought.
Dusty?
What is happening?
Yeah. Hey, Billy, listen.
Slow down, Billy. Slow down.
There's a lot going on here. My T's making. My eyes been twitching. We don't need to get into that.
Gather yourself. We will get to the Kershaw's. Everyone's waiting for the Kershaw's to God stuff.
Yes, and I'm being patient, Billy. Like, take your time. Finish your sentences and get through this thing.
Yes. Go ahead and explain to us the emotions, the careening emotions that the Astros are putting you through.
No, we're good. We're good with the Astros. The Astros are not going to win two more games. It's not going to happen. And even if they do, they're not going to beat the Braves because the Dodgers are a joke. They're not going to make it to the World Series. We all know that. That's not going to happen. The Braves, by the way, I'm over the Braves. And Brian McCann is rolling in his grave with what these Braves are doing. If it was any team other than the Braves, I would be like, wow, this is fun. But the Braves, I just do not like. And I think it's because they're in the NL East and I've had to be dealing with them forever. But I hope that they're the Braves, like the old Braves, where they make it to the World Series or they win 14 straight division titles and they do absolutely nothing. Don't get me started.
These are not your old Braves. These are not.
No, I know. McCann hates these Braves for sure.
The thing that made me feel bad for Kershaw last night, Stugatz, I thought he was betrayed by his manager.
Hold on, it was someone else's fault.
Stugatz, hold on.
Okay,
you will get your chance, and I will get out of the way. I know you're ready to leave the bullpen. Just hold on a second, okay?
Yep. He's a fraud.
The reason that I felt bad for Kershaw last night, because he's got a manager who is managing from a different time and left him in the sixth inning to face the top of that Braves order, which is horrific. I'm just going to read some stats to you, and then you can have the floor, and I will get out of the way, and they are mostly stats that will support just about everything that you've ever said about Clayton Kershaw.
Okay.
So this is from ESPN. His career ERAs now go like this: 2.43 in the regular season, 3.68 in the division series, wild card round, 4.84 in the LCS, 5.40 in the World Series. His postseason ERA from the sixth inning on is 7.31. The worst of any starter with a minimum of 20 innings in that scenario. That's where his manager betrayed him. His three go-ahead hits allowed in the sixth inning or later since the 2013 postseason is tied with Justin Verlander for the second most in that stretch. Now, let me just get through these stats here, Stugatz, and
then
it's all yours,
man.
All right?
Yep, he's a choker.
This is from Hembo. Below is a comprehensive list of pitchers to start 10-plus games in the LCS and World Series with an ERA over 5. That's Clayton Kershaw is the list.
Okay.
Clayton Kershaw, that's it. There's no one else on it.
Short list.
Clayton Kershaw has a 3.0. This is from John Morosi. Clayton Kershaw has a 3.94 ERA in his last 5 postseason starts, including tonight. I suspect that is lower than some critics would expect. So it's an ERA under 4.
Gas can.
So here from ESPN Stats and Info, Clayton Kershaw has given up 3 go-ahead hits in the 6th. I just gave you that stat. 3 go-ahead hits in the 6th inning or later since the 2013 postseason, tied with Justin Verlander for the 2nd most over that span. Only Aroldis Chapman has given up more, 5.
Gas can. I'm sorry. I just gave you that stat.
So at Joe Sheehan, he had a great start tonight. Then he gave up 2 ground balls and never should have faced the 3rd guy. The Clayton Kershaw narrative is in no small part the Dave Roberts is trapped in 2014 narrative.
Excuses.
So have at it.
Oh, my God.
Go ahead. Well, both
by the way, Clayton Kershaw, here's another stat. He leads the league in sports writers making excuses for him. Get out of here. You can't be the pitcher of a generation and not go into the 6th inning. He wouldn't even have gotten a quality start. He's the best pitcher. Everybody can't get past 71 pitches in a game before there's trouble. He can't pitch into the 6th inning. That's the manager's fault. He's supposed to be the ace of a staff. He's supposed to be carrying this team. For whatever reason, he does great in the regular season, and he has issues in the postseason. But it's not the fault of the manager that you can't get through 6 innings. Come on, that's ridiculous. The fact that he had a 4.64 ERA headed into the NLCS before yesterday's game has nothing to do with the manager. That's on him.
Right, that's him being a fraud and a choker, as I explained to Dan earlier. Here's the problem. Billy's right with Clayton Kershaw. You have all these people rushing to his defense, and I don't get it. And you have Tim Kurkjian and Buster Olney and all these guys calling him the greatest pitcher of all time, which he is not, by the way, because pitchers are defined about how they do in the postseason and how they do in the biggest spots. Dan, here is the problem. I am listening to that game on the radio, and Boog Sciambi, of all people, is defending Clayton Kershaw. And I love Boog, but Boog says, with all due respect to the bashers out there, this is not 2014 Clayton Kershaw. Well, let me tell you what he did in 2014 in the NLCS, Boog. He was 0-2 with a 7.14 ERA. The moment gets to him. The pressure gets to him. I would rather have David Wells' career. I'd rather have David Cone's career. Heck, I'd rather have Charlie Morton's career than Clayton Kershaw's. How about that?
It can be both things. Clayton Kershaw can be a great pitcher. He can be the best pitcher of his generation, and he could be bad in the playoffs. But we don't have to make up excuses for him as to why he doesn't get things done in the playoffs. Like, you've read the numbers. He has not been good in the NLCS or the World Series. So you don't have to lie to people and say that he is good and it's someone else's fault. He hasn't been good. That's just what it is.
Fraud, choker, excuses, gas can.
I burst out laughing because I heard your Mahomes Alex Smith take in the middle of your Kershaw.
Not today. Today
well,
I win.
You do win. Today you win, but I just thought it was funny to hear you say, which he's not, by the way. I heard echoes of your Mahomes Alex Smith
take. It did come out as cleanly, though, I got to be honest.
I get in theory, Dan, why you're saying Dave Roberts should have taken him out in that 6th inning. Look at his numbers in the 6th inning. He was at 71 pitches. He had given up 1 run. You can't tell your ace.
No, but it's third time through the lineup with that got him.
No, Dan, I'm telling you, 71 pitches, if you dare go out to the mound and try to take the ball out of David Wells' hand, forget it. He'll punch you in the face.
This is Joe Sheehan that was quoting Dave Roberts. This is how people are managing today.
It's also not a small sample, by the way. It's 10 seasons that he's been in the playoffs. 2008, 2009, 2013, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So it's not like 4 bad starts is the reason why he has a big ERA.
It's 177 innings. It's basically a whole year he's been in the postseason, and he's got a 4.78 ERA, a 4.31 ERA.
I am not here to argue, okay?
Got carried away.
I mean, you just had to get in that not good. I'm going to get Boog on here to talk to you guys. I'm not here to argue on behalf of Clayton Kershaw today.
Okay.
going to lose an argument with Boo because he's going to be throwing bop, bip, beep, bop, W plus R2, D2s and all this stuff that no one's ever heard of. It's like, okay, Boog, fine. You're the voice of Sunday Night Baseball. You win. But his ERA is 4.78. Whatever it is.
Okay, but what I'm telling you about, and you know this, Billy, the way that baseball is managed today, you could take this up with Kirkchen and people who know baseball better than I do.
I will.
But the way that it is managed today, there was literally, Stugatz, literally a guy last night who came out of the Astros bullpen whose name was Scrub. His last name is Scrub. He's just another Scrub. What he threw was a breaking ball like Blylevin and 97. And that's the guy that every bullpen is bringing in now in the sixth and seventh inning because tired starters aren't the way we're going anymore. Like, that's not what they're doing in that sport.
I understand that. But when you're Clayton Kershaw and everyone calls you the greatest starting pitcher to ever pitch in Major League Baseball, you have to do what the other greats have done in the postseason. Go out and give your team 8 or 9 innings. That's what you have to get. I don't care how baseball is being managed today. That's what the greats have done forever. And that's what Kershaw needs to do. And he can't do it. He's not capable of doing it.
Hang tough.
What do you think Satchel Paige would say if his manager was like, you're pitching 5 innings today?
Well, he wouldn't say anything because he's been dead for many years.
How about Coney?
All right. Well, you could take it up. You're arguing with someone who doesn't want to argue with you. He wasn't good last night, and he hasn't been good in the postseason.
Don Lebatard.
So during the break, Stugatz is just staring at the television, and he says to Adrian Wojnarowski, who would probably go without saying, isn't someone who can hear what he's saying because he's on television. He's not in the room. Stugatz looks at the TV and says, Woj, that's a nice shirt and jacket combo.
Stugatz.
I'm crazy.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they are making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Boog Shambi going to join us right now to argue with me and Billy on the Shell Pennzoil performance line.
Yeah, he'll be here in a couple of seconds. I don't know if he's going to argue or not. I don't know the specifics of what it is that he was saying. You can't argue that Clayton Kershaw has been good in the postseason. It's not an argument that can be made.
He was saying this is not 2014 Clayton Kershaw. He can't do it like he used to. And so I went back and I realized why he chose 2014. It's the best season he's ever had. I went back and looked at his postseason. He was 0-2. With a 7.41 ERA.
One of the things that I have found heartbreaking about whatever it is to be inside Clayton Kershaw's head at this time in his life is that that criticism was something that he might have defiantly been able to throw his way out of, curveballs and 97 miles an hour once upon a time. But the power arm in that sport has a short life. There is a surgery and some guys rebound from it. Kershaw has rebounded from that somewhat, but hasn't rebounded in a way that with age, Stugatz, he's likely at any point to overcome what it is that has to be overcome to get his postseason numbers in a place that are reasonable.
He still had, I understand what you're saying, he still had 58 innings pitched this year and had a 2.16 ERA. Like, I'm wondering from your perspective, because you don't buy into, like, the choking stuff, and I get it. What do you think is happening to him in the postseason?
Well, it's not that I don't buy into the choking stuff. That's not what it is. What the part that you will always hear me object to is, I've been hearing since Gary Williams, Jim Boeheim, and I'm old enough to remember you guys doing this to LeBron James. Like, you did it to Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan at one time was somebody you guys were saying you can't win that way.
Yep.
Like, so we always move on to the next guy. When somebody wins it, we move on to the next one. And Kershaw isn't, it wouldn't appear, going to be able to alter this. Like, Elway got some of this, Stugatz. Like,
he did.
Until you've won it, to me, it's a very simplistic way of looking at sports because a lot of things go into winning. But have the discussion with Boog Shambi. Boog is here now. He's the voice of Sunday Night Baseball. He knows vastly more than me about baseball, so have the discussion with him about it.
I mean, he knows more than all of us about baseball. Boog, I was making the point earlier. I'm driving home, and I'm listening to your call of the game, and you're talking about Kershaw and the fact that this is not 2014 Clayton Kershaw, realizing why you chose that year, probably his best year. So when I got home, Boog, I checked the postseason, 2014 NLCS. He was 0-2 with a 7.14 ERA. And I just got mad because I feel like so many people are trying to make excuses as to why Kershaw has been bad in the postseason. Not just bad, not just this season. He now has over 170 innings, which is essentially a full season for him, and the ERA is 2 points higher than it is during the regular season. Boogie's not a good postseason pitcher. That's it.
Yeah, so I think you missed the point, though. Number one, I didn't make excuses for him, but my point is that we're continuing to litigate this thing like he's in the prime of his career, and he's not in the prime of his career. So as we can, you know, it'd be like if we kept having this conversation and eventually he was still pitching and he was 41, like at what point is some of what's going into the argument on the other side the fact that he's 41? Like, for example, last night, that would be a pretty good example, in my opinion, of that's why guys aren't allowed to face an order three times. Like, he pitched fine for five innings. But you let him get through the line. You tried to get him through the lineup for a piece of the third time, and that's what bit him. And that's what bites most every guy nowadays. So that's my point. My implication was not that he was brilliant in the postseason in 2014. It's that we are not looking at him in the prime of his career. This is not the same conversation as when he was the leading candidate for the Cy Young Award every single season. It's not the same conversation right now. Decline is part of the factor. Back then, they wouldn't have thought about, well, do you let him face the lineup three times? Because he's Clayton Kershaw then. You know, the last couple of years, Cole, Verlander in their prime. You'll let those guys face a lineup three times in a row. But 32-year-old guy coming off with back spasms, no, you probably shouldn't let him face a lineup three times in a row. We're not having the same conversation. That's the point.
Okay, so that's fair. I understand that. And today's, you know.
I know it's fair. I made the point. I know it's fair.
No, but what is also fair is in his prime, he was also a lousy postseason pitcher. That is also fair.
I think that the issue becomes this, is that you take it all and lump it all together. Like, you weren't having me on it when he went 8 shutout against the Brewers in the wild card series.
No, I was very quiet, though.
What were you telling him? What were you telling Boog about the careers you rather have?
And Boog, by the way, I will throw this in as well. 58 innings this year, and he had a 2.16 ERA. So he was very good this year. I mean, third time around the lineup, I get it. But please, you're Clayton Kershaw, and everyone's calling you the greatest pitcher of all time. I was making the argument I would rather have Curt Schilling's career, David Wells' career, David Cone's career, and I might be getting carried away when I tell you I'd rather have Charlie Morton's career.
Right, but I mean, you know, like, and that's fine, but like, then it's just going to dovetail into asking Robert Horry, would you rather have your career, would you rather have Charles Barkley's career, and like, you're not even finishing the question, and Robert Horry's like, I'd rather be Charles Barkley.
But like, Schilling, Wells, Cone are like, they're borderline Hall of Fame. In fact, their numbers are probably just as good, right?
Yeah, I think, I mean, probably.
Yeah, all right.
I don't know. Boog, Billy, well, do you have anything for Boog on the way out? We got to get to Teddy Atlas, and he could be yammering and long-winded. So do you have anything for Boog on the way out, Billy?
Nah, you know, I like Boog. I like how he's doing. Boog, how are you feeling today? Good?
I'm good, man. What's going on, Billy?
You know, just chilling. We're doing a radio show. Mark Sanchez was on The Masked Singer. Crazy times.
Hold that thought. Let's sell some ads.
Sanchez was?
We will try to get Teddy Atlas on the line next. You got to tell the people why they need to be sponsoring the people who support us.
I won that, right?
I don't know. You guys kind of petered out there, both of you.
Well, it doesn't seem like Boog really. I think I misinterpreted what Boog was trying to say.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah, straw man.
Yeah. Okay.
Don Lebatard.
I'm not thin.
Stugatz.
You think I look fat in these shorts?
This is the Don Lebatard Show on ESPN Radio.
The Dan Le Batard Show is brought to you by Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Guest on the Dan Le Batard Show appear via the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Teddy Atlas going to join us there in just a minute. Today on ESPN Daily, Georgia visits Alabama Saturday for a big SEC showdown. That game's still on? Without Bama coach Nick Saban, we break down what Georgia needs to do to break through. That's on ESPN Daily. Subscribe wherever you get your podcast.
All right, so Teddy Atlas has to get out of here to go do First Take because we got a big card, top-ranked card tomorrow night. Prelims start at 7:30. The main card starts 10 p.m. on ESPN, but you can get what you need, ESPN Plus. It's a lot of good fights if you're someone who likes boxing. And Lomachenko and Lopez is the headline event. Teddy Atlas, he's worked with 18 championship fighters. So before we ask him, and thank you as always for joining us, before we ask him about tomorrow night's fights, Teddy, what are the fights that you want to see set up? Because it looks like in the heavyweight division, at least, that if the promoters are saying that Fury and Wilder isn't going to happen again.
Yeah, I'd rather see Wilder and Joshua go right. Not Wilder, I'm sorry. I'd rather see Fury and Joshua go right to it. You know, it's a huge fight, especially over across the pond in Europe. It would be, forget about it. If it wasn't for the pandemic right now, they would probably not only fill Wembley, it would overflow. They'd probably need a backup stadium to put all the people to want to watch that fight. I think that would be an interesting fight. I think Spence, if he can get past Garcia, and Crawford would be terrific. Crawford and Lomachenko for me, number one, number two. Lomachenko, I got him number one pound for pound. I got Crawford number two pound for pound. I mean, it's like picking ice cream, you know. Choose what you want. You like sprinkles, you don't want sprinkles. Either way, it's ice cream. They're both tremendous. And I'd love to see those guys get together. And this fight, Lomachenko and Lopez, that's the fight right now that's most important for boxing. I'll tell you why. Since the pandemic, there hasn't been a lot of good fights. I mean, you had Cepeda and Baranchuk on ESPN Plus 2 weeks ago, but it was Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and it was unbelievable. 8 knockdowns in 5 rounds, but not the elite, not the names that people know, not the names that draw people, you know, to the tube, not the talent level that you got Saturday night in this fight. There's been too many sparring sessions, quite frankly, in boxing since the pandemic. And when UFC came back, they put on top fights. They put on competitive fights. And guess what? The fans came out. And guess what? The fans disappeared for the boxing. The ratings have been horrible. This is a fight to bring them back.
You bring up the important question, though. Sure does. According to Teddy Atlas, what is the correct way to have ice cream?
Mm-hmm.
Well, with sprinkles. I mean, I like sprinkles very much. And, you know, and then you can also put in a little bit of the marshmallow. I like the creamy marshmallow. And I know I'm going a little over the top now, but I love toasted coconut. I really do. I like it a lot.
Teddy, when you go sprinkles, chocolate or rainbow?
I like chocolate. I like that nice. That bang, you know, where I feel that chocolate rush. I enjoy that.
Teddy, you a cup guy or maybe a cone guy, maybe a waffle cone?
Yeah, not waffle cone. You know, that's for the younger crowd, I guess. You know, and for me, just a regular cone. Just a regular cone. And this way, you know, you can save the last little bit at the bottom. And then you can just drop it right, you know, just take it all in. I think it's the best way to do it.
Teddy, when you go marshmallows, you got to go chocolate, right? That's the only option.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love the syrupy, you know, the melted marshmallow. I love it on a sundae. I love the marshmallow and the toasted coconut. It's very good. And then, of course, you go and die.
What? You go and die because it's very fattening and it's probably not great.
It took a weird turn.
It took a dark turn.
You know, hopefully you don't die.
Hopefully you don't die, for sure.
Right.
Hopefully you don't die. You just call your cardiologist.
That's
and
right.
Say, hey, listen, I messed up.
That's right.
I messed up a little.
Teddy, how do you feel about these people that say frozen yogurt is an ice cream?
Yeah, I mean, listen, for them, you know, that's okay. They want to live in that world. You know, not everybody can live in the big world, you know, where you're facing what you need to face. That's more comfortable for them. You know, a little bit of a fib. I won't call it a lie. You know, but we all fib a little bit. you know, where they say, hey, you know, I'm doing a healthy thing and I'm okay. And, you know, I'm getting what I need to get to make myself believe I'm getting ice cream and the satisfaction of the things that I'm really not getting. And that's why I'm lying, because I'm really not happy. I'm really suffering over here.
Danny, how do you feel about sherbet?
Sherbet is good. Listen, I'm not a cleansing your palate guy, okay? So don't even try to go down there. But, you know, it is clean. It is clean. It is refreshing. It's nice. I think it's got to be more, you know, it's got to fit in with the environment a little bit. During the summer, I enjoy it more.
Teddy, soft serve or regular ice cream? Meaning if you pull up and there's a Carvel and a Baskin-Robbins right next to each other, which one is Teddy walking into?
Yeah, I'm going into a Carvel. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow.
I'm going into them. You know, I like the salad. I like Baskin-Robbins. But I want that more if I'm at home. If I'm at home, I'm putting that into a dish. Nobody's going to see how big that dish is. That's my own business. And I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch you guys on TV, and I'm going to eat the hard ice cream. But if I'm outside, I'm going to get the soft stuff.
Last question. You like that Fudgy the Whale?
I get it. You know, I get it from my next-door neighbors. I got three beautiful little girls. I got beautiful grandchildren living with me. But they're not old enough. Their parents aren't letting them eat ice cream anymore. They're still at that mean stage. But next door, the three little girls, they can eat anything. And I bring them Fudgy the Whale, and they love it, and they love me. So it all works out.
How do you feel about going to the ice cream machine and getting the swirl, the mixture of the vanilla and chocolate?
Yeah, I like it. I mean, sometimes, you know, if you're confused that day.
But, if you're it's confused. Okay. Yeah, it's okay. I got to tell you, though, Teddy.
It works. It works.
Describing an ice cream, the personality of sorbet, as it's clean, like I feel like you were being polite and politically correct there. Like sorbet's not for you. You want to eat the shame-ridden ice cream that makes you call your cardiologist. You're not a sorbet guy. Teddy Atlas, he worked with 18 world champions. He's not a sorbet guy. Just say it, Teddy. Quit being afraid.
No, I wasn't afraid. I'm not being afraid. If I was afraid, I wouldn't say that I'm ready to die.
That's a fair point.
Again, very dark, Teddy. Yeah. We were just talking ice cream. Lomachenko and Lopez. What? It is the top-ranked card tomorrow night. ESPN plus 7:30 Eastern, also 10 p.m. on ESPN. Teddy, thank you. Good talking to you. Thank you for allowing us to waste your time.
No problem. It's always good to waste time when you can.
Dan Le Batard.
Hey, Dave.
Stugatz.
What up?
This is the Dan Le Batard Show with the Stugatz on ESPN Radio.
ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. News from the Dan Le Batard Nation. You have a nation. Someone has just hit us up on the Dr. Pepper Twitter feed. Alex Hernandez at Salejandro. Why is it written like that? Salejandro.
I feel like you have quoted this particular guy. Either there are 100 Alex Hernandezes, or you're only looking at one account to quote from.
No. You're forgetting about Bette Midler, the swindler.
Right, exactly. Anyway, he gives, Alex does, gives his analysis of the Clayton Kershaw debate between me and Boog Shambi. Quote, you could tell who won the debate, because Billy went from rabid pit bull in the previous segment to domesticated Dachshund. Is that how you say it? Faster Dachshund? Than fast.
Dachshund?
Is it pronounced Dachshund?
I think it's Dachshund.
I think Mike's got it right. It's Dachshund.
Right, but it's tricky.
Yes. Yeah. I've always put it on the poll, Guillermo, at Le Batard Show. Dachshund or Dachshund? I have other poll questions for you as well at Le Batard Show. Thank you, Stugatz, for all the support there with a fake.
I said Dachshund.
Put it on the poll. All of these questions on the poll, please, Guillermo.
Tomato, tomato.
Toasted coconut, yes or no? Sprinkles, yes or no? is it clean a compliment for ice cream or a way to describe ice cream? And are waffle cones for the younger crowd? All of things we covered there with Teddy Atlas. I want all those questions posed to the audience.
I figured you'd love a good waffle cone. I mean, you just put everything in there.
Yes, if you can give me more calories, I can't eat the cup. So go ahead and give me the waffle cone. Christine Lisi, please pardon the interruption. You were saying...
And finally, Johnny Depp, who's been embroiled in an ugly legal battle with his ex-wife, Amber Heard, for years, now has the unlikely support of singer-songwriter Sia. The Australian singer, unprompted, shared her support for Depp in a Twitter post, which read, "Just showing my public support for Johnny Depp," adding, "He is clearly the victim after hearing those tapes."
Wow.
Yikes.
I believe there's also, and I'm not posing this question to Christine because she is much too pristine and professional to embark on these kinds of toilet talk conversations, but I believe the height of their friction involves somebody pooping in a bed. Thank you very much. I appreciate the musical accompaniment there. Thank you, Christine.
You want me to look that up?
Please do. Yes, I think there is something.
Wasn't there something about writing blood in a mirror?
There was also that.
I got that crazy love, huh?
Yeah.
That sounds like every Depp movie.
Well, not the pooping in the bed part.
No. Yeah. I didn't mean that.
This is interesting. I actually think we're going to get to Tim Kirkson in a second. Thank you again, Christine. Sorry to drag you into our sewer. The thing that I find most fascinating about everything that's happening with sports right now, as basically these sports teams across our three major beloved sports, everyone is getting so much smarter, so much faster, Stugat. So we've seen these evolutions, for example, in baseball. Oh, wait, it's got to be home runs and strikeouts and shifts. It's not anymore, you know, bunting people over and small ball. No. We've reconfigured all of the values, therefore blank. We're going to change the way this game is totally played, and Clayton Kershaw is going to be a starter who you go once or twice through the lineup, and that's it. Basketball, three-point shot, all the math has changed. Like, it's crazy. Everything has changed. Different evolution in real time. We've seen the sport, both sports, we've seen totally change because of how much smarter they've gotten in the last 5 years. Dominique Foxworth writing this piece for The Undefeated about how the Honey Badger is basically a defensive player for the new age, because when he lines up, you don't know if he's the safety or the linebacker. Right. So he's an athlete who could play every position. It's sort of positionless football and basketball. But the part that I find most fascinating is what you see happening at the highest level of expertise with the quarterbacks and value. Because Aaron Rodgers plays Tom Brady this weekend, and that Packers offense has been overwhelming this season. Not just him, the Packers offense with LaFleur and a new math guy, you know, from the McVay. New guys who are going to change the sport with how it is that they're doing the value measurements. These people know so much more about what they're doing than we do, Stugatz. Like, while we're watching it, even the most expert of football people breaking it down have a hard time doing the quarterback evaluations. But when you pair these particular precise quarterbacks with coaches who can do things like what Andy Reid is doing, where LeSean McCoy, like, how are you going to stop what they're doing there? Watch what LeSean McCoy looks like in that offense. Le'Veon Bell.
He's
watch
what great.
Yes. Watch what he does in that offense versus what he does in what he did in the Jets offense. Like, when you pair these people, to me, the value measurements, it's a fascinating. If the evolutions in basketball and baseball don't get your attention, football, beloved king sport, is all changing up there at the top of the food chain with the very best quarterbacks doing what Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers are doing this year.
I have confirmed that Johnny Depp did accuse Amber Heard of pooping in his bed.
Tim Kirkson next.